RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia promotes 10 new Balis to Croatia. More F-16 aircrafts from U.S. arrive in Indonesia. Indonesia falls after 5 sessions of gains. Malaysia hits near 22-month high. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian Embassy in Zagreb, Croatia, promoted 10 new Indonesia's tourism destinations, namely 10 new Balis, through a workshop of Indonesia-Croatia Travel Agent, which held on the sidelines of the biggest international tourism exhibition in Croatia, Place to Go, which was taken place on March 17 to 19. Chargé d'affaires ad interim of the Indonesian Embassy Zagreb, Wijo Seno Sastro Amijoyo, in a press conference in the Embassy Zagreb on Monday, March 20. The Indonesia-Croatia Travel Agent Workshop was attended by 50 Croatian travel agents and some presentations from Indonesian travel agents, as well as business meeting and networks development. Wijo Seno Sastro Amijoyo also said, it is hoped the Indonesian travel agents who participated in the Place to Go event would explain about 10 new Balis to their counterpart in Croatia. The 10 new Indonesian tourism destinations, 10 new Balis, are among others Lake Toba in North Sumatra, Belitung in Bangka Belitung, Tanjung Lesung in Banten, the Thousand Islands in Jakarta and Borobudur Temple in Central Java, Man Bromo in East Java, Mandalika Lombok in West Nusa Tenggara, Komodo Island in East Nusa Tenggara, the National Park Wakatobi in Southeast Sulawesi, and the island of Morotai in North Maluku. The Indonesian Embassy in Zagreb hoped to bring 7 travel agencies from Indonesia and 4 travel agents from Europe to Place to Go tourism fairs this year. 5 F-16 jet fighters granted from the United States government will arrive at the Iswahyudi Air Force Base in Magetan, East Java, Monday, March 20, 2017. Head of Public Information at the Iswahyudi Air Force Base, Magetan, Mayor Tamsir, said on Monday, as quoted on Kompas.com. 5 F-16 fighter aircraft type F-16CD from the U.S. government arrived on Monday at Iswahyudi Air Force Base, Magetan. The 5 jet fighters are a portion of 24 aircraft the U.S. government granted to Indonesia. Indonesia has received 14 aircraft until now. Tamsir said there are still 5 more to come. According to schedule, they will arrive by the end of the year. Tamsir said, one pilot from Iswahyudi would be one of the 5 pilots who flew the aircraft from the U.S. to Indonesia. Tamsir added that the 5 aircrafts were received directly by Dan Lanut Iswahyudi, Marsma TNI Andiawan MP at the main base. It was earlier reported that 5 F-16s from the U.S. Air Force had arrived at Iswahyudi on Wednesday, March 15, 2017. The aircraft have been upgraded so that their ability is equivalent to a new plane. The 5 aircraft are expected to strengthen Indonesia's main weaponry system. Southeast Asian stock markets were mixed in thin trade. On Monday, March 20, 2017, with Indonesia heading for its first fall in 6 sessions, while the U.S. Federal Reserve's dovish stance continued to drag the dollar lower. Indonesian shares fell as much as 0.4% following last week's record-setting spree, with consumer and energy stocks leading the decline. Harry Su, an analyst with Bahana Securities in Indonesia, said it's just a bit of profit-taking. Indonesia's central bank held its key policy rate unchanged on Thursday, saying it wanted to maintain stability amid global uncertainties. Last week was a turning point for Indonesian equities. Taysim, head of the research at Jakarta-based Mirae Asset Sekuritas, said the Federal Reserve made it clear that despite a rate hike, its monetary policy remains accommodative. Given most foreign investors have large cash positions, people expect to see increased foreign net buying during this week. The dollar slowly ceded ground in Asia on Monday, with greenback bulls still nursing grudges after the Fed's rate guidance last week proved to be less hawkish than many had wagered on. Sim said the dovish stance of the Fed reignited investor appetite for risk assets, pushing up regional asset prices. Three of Australia's most successful alumni from Indonesia have been recognized with prestigious award at a Welcome Home Gala event in Jakarta. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Gregson said on a press release, which received on Monday, March 20, 2017, that Australia is immensely proud of its alumni from Indonesia, and celebrating their achievements inspires all those in Australian alumni community. He said everywhere he goes in Indonesia, he meets talented alumni making significant contributions to their organizations and communities. Molly Surya, a graduate of Bond and Swinburne Universities, is the Australian Alumni of the Year for 2017. As an award-winning writer, producer, and film director, Molly founded film production company Sin Surya on her return to Indonesia. Molly's films Fixi and What They Don't Talk About When They Talk About Love have received acclaim in Indonesia and around the world, bringing Indonesian stories and perspectives to international audiences. The Innovation and Entrepreneurship Award has been presented to Fendi Lim, a University of New South Wales alumnus. Fendi established startup company Sedayu in 2009, which is now one of Indonesia's leading engineering procurement construction companies with more than 100 solar power plants across Indonesia. The electricity has helped improve lives in some of Indonesia's most isolated communities. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government plans to issue US dollar sukuk as well as euro and yen denominated conventional bonds in the first half of this year, an Indonesian Finance Ministry official told reporters on Monday, March 20, 2017. Loto Sri Naita Ginting, a director of the Financing Office of the Indonesian Finance Ministry, said, for foreign currency-denominated bonds, the ministry is planning to finish in this first semester. Finance Ministry officials have previously said Indonesia will raise $5.5 billion from global markets by the end of this year. In December 2016, the government sold $3.5 billion in global bonds to help finance the 2017 budget. Finance ministers and central bank governors of the G20 member states have agreed to implement the automatic exchange of information and address-based erosion and profit shifting by September 2017 or at least by September next year. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that Indonesia has agreed to cooperate with other countries to address tax avoidance through the exchange of information. The proceeds of tax amnesty program shows that the taxpayers have been stashing their assets and failing to declare them. Minister Sri Mulyani said in a press release received on Sunday that the agreement on the exchange of information is key to achieving fair tax regulations and implementation among nations. At the meeting of ministers and central bank governors of the G20 countries, she said that repatriated assets in the tax amnesty program have been rather small compared to the total assets declared. Accordingly, she has urged the G20 member states to prepare themselves for the implementation of the automatic exchange of information. Going forward, taxpayers will not be able to exploit mismatches in tax rules adopted in different countries to circumvent the exchange of information. The last item, the state-owned vaccine producer BioPharma plans to sell more affordable drugs for breast cancer patients as compared to the current drugs on the market. Senior researcher at BioPharma Erman Tritama said on Sunday, March 19, that the research and development team had been creating a biosimilar drug that would be released to the market by 2019. The firm planned to sell the biosimilar drug, a biological product which is made from tissue, cell, DNA, and protein of living creatures, cheaper than biosimilar drugs produced by Swiss healthcare firm Roche, which sells similar drug for about 25 million rupiah or $1,873 per dose. Erman said biosimilar drugs for breast cancer have been patented for 19 years and the patent right will expire in 2019. Biosimilar drugs are used at least 5 times during their treatment, which means a patient needs to pay for at least 125 million worth of biosimilar drugs. Indonesia needed to prepare to release the drug as other companies from other countries are also preparing to release the drug in 2019. Erman added, the company has to be fast, which is one of the ways to compete to sell it at a cheaper price. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia promotes 10 new Balis to Croatia. More F-16 aircraft from U.S. arrive in Indonesia. Indonesia falls after 5 sessions of gains. Malaysia hits near 22-month high. That was the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Pros and Cons on the Repetition of Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK Law. A discourse to revise Law No. 30-2002 on the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, reemerges and becomes a polemic among the public. It occurs after the House of Representatives Skill Agency, BKD, conducted solicitation in the law repetition at several universities. The socialization aims to make the public and academicians more aware of the concept of the discourse suspected to reduce the corruption eradication KPK's authorities. Some of the points that will be revised are on the Titan tapping, the installments of a board of trustees for the commission and investigation termination warrant, or known as SP3. In early 2016, the revised law commission discourse was delivered by some members of the House of Representatives DPR. At the time, after consultation with the parliament, President Joko Widodo decided to postpone the revision of the law. The president feels that it still needed time to finalize the revision of law and the socialization to the public so that it would not be debatable. Various parties have rejected the discourse on corruption eradication KPK law. The Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, is of the view that several points in the revision of the law tend to weaken the anti-corruption institution. Coordinator of Political Corruption Division of Indonesian Corruption Watch, ICW, Donald Faris, believes that the House of Representatives, DPR, has 2 targets in the planned law revision, namely short-term and long-term targets. The short-term one is to break the focus of attention of the commission. If the commission continues, the commission on the one hand will strike to maintain its authority, while on the other hand, it still does its duty in uncovering corruption. While the long-term target is an attempt to weaken the authority of the commission, later Donald views that the commission will be controlled by political force, which can be seen from a plan to establish a supervisory board that will be elected by the parliament. The rejection is eloquent from the Rector Forum and the students. The revision of the law is not an impossible thing. Law is not a holy book that should not be changed and remains valid forever. Changes may occur as long as the contents of the law are considered no longer suitable to the changing time. The law number 30/2002 on the Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) can be changed, but the rule and the authority of the commission should not be reduced. In fact, it should be strengthened. Do not let the Law on Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) be revised only to protect some people suspected to commit corruption, to be free from the law enforcement. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with March 20, 1940. Sapardi Djoko Damono, a noted Indonesian poet, was born. Sapardi Djoko Damono was born in Surakarta on March 20, 1940. He is one of leading poets in Indonesia. He not only wrote poems but also short stories. His most well-known works are collection of poems titled Hujan Bulan Juni or Rain in June and Pengarang Telah Mati or Author Has Died. Sapardi Djoko Damono is also a professor in literature at the University of Indonesia. His works have been translated into many foreign languages, including Suddenly the Night, the poetry of Sapardi Djoko Damono, Black Magic Rain, and Before Dawn. Sapardi has received numerous international awards, including the Sia Wright Awards and Anugerah Puisi Putra from Malaysia. Over now to 1995, a sarin gas attack on the Tokyo subway kills 13 and wounds 1,300 people. The Tokyo subway sarin attack, usually referred to in the Japanese media as the subway sarin incident, was an act of domestic terrorism perpetrated on March 20, 1995 in Tokyo, Japan, by members of the cult movement Aum Shinrikyo. In 5 coordinated attacks, the perpetrators released sarin on several lines of the Tokyo subway during the rush hour, killing 12 people, severely injuring 50, and causing temporary vision problems for nearly 1,000 others. The attack was directed against trains passing through Kasumigaseki and Nagatacho, home to the Japanese government. It is the most serious attack to occur in Japan since the end of World War II. Last is from 2013. The first International Day of Happiness is celebrated. The International Day of Happiness, known as a Happiness Day, is celebrated throughout the world on the 20th of March. Founded on June 28, 2012, the International Day of Happiness resolution was the result of the effort of United Nations advisor Jamie Illion, who conceptualized the idea for a UN resolution that would recognize the pursuit of happiness as a human right and a fundamental human goal. Jamie Illion, founder of the International Day of Happiness and Illion Global Public Benefit Corporation, gained the support for the idea of the new International Day of Happiness from the President of the UN General Assembly and the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, as well as all 193 UN member states to draft and adopt a new UN resolution to create the new International Day, the International Day of Happiness. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Focus. The theme of today's focus is on Indonesia to launch two aid programs to Myanmar. Listener, the government of Indonesia will soon launch humanitarian aids for Rakhine State, Myanmar in the form of hospital and community development. Indonesia Foreign Affairs Deputy Minister Ayan Fajir, after a meeting on aid for Myanmar at the Vice Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Friday, explained Indonesia has already built a school in Sitwe, the capital of Rakhine State, and Mandau. Now the government will build a hospital in Marot. Ayan Fajir said that Marot U was chosen because there are many refugees staying in the region. The government of Indonesia hopes that the aid can be beneficial for the people in Marwa U. Deputy Minister Fajir also said the hospital development will cost around 30 billion rupiah or around $2 million. He added, besides hospital, Indonesia will also make programs for community developments including education, health, the economy and disaster mitigation. He emphasized the development proves that Indonesia also participates in rehabilitating and developing communities. He views that the community and market development cost $2 million. Besides, Ayan Fajir also said that Indonesia wants to arrange an interfaith dialogue in Myanmar, which includes Buddhist, Muslim, Christian communities from Indonesia in the near future. Meanwhile, the President of Medical Emergency Rescue Committee, MERCY, Sarbini Abdul Murad, escorted from Republican Friday, said that Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala instructed the MERCY Indonesian Red Cross and humanitarian alliance for Myanmar will soon realize the hospital development in Rakhine State in 2017. Sarbini Abdullah Murad added the development is planned to begin in April 2017, but on March 24, 2007, the project commencement will be launched. Later, on the two-story hospital can accommodate 2,000 people and medical personnel in that hospital come from Myanmar. They will be invited to Indonesia for training and interaction with Indonesian doctors so that they can see the harmony among interfaith community in Indonesia. Sarbini also said that hospital is a natural area for people with different faith and social status to interact. Therefore, the Muslim and Buddhist communities in Myanmar are expected to accept each other. Previously, Indonesia also had built 6 schools in Myanmar and now Indonesia is committed to developing hospital and markets there. The MERCY president emphasized the development of hospital, school and market will not trigger resistance because people need them. Also, the effort is sought diplomacy from Indonesia to Myanmar. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Embassy in Zagreb, Croatia promoted 10 new Indonesia's tourism destinations, namely 10 new Balis, through a workshop of Indonesia-Croatia Travel Agent, which held on the sidelines of the biggest international tourism exhibition in Croatia, Place to Go, which was taken place on March 17 to 19. Charles Davies, ad interim of the Indonesian Embassy Zagreb, with Joseno Sastro Amijoyo in a press conference in the Embassy Zagreb on Monday, said, "The Indonesia-Croatia Travel Agent Workshop was attended by 50 Croatian travel agents and some presentations from Indonesian travel agents as well as business meeting and networks development. 5 F-16 jet fighters granted from the United States government will arrive at the Iswahyudi Air Force Base in Magetan, East Java on Monday, March 20, 2017. Head of Public Information at the Iswahyudi Air Force Base, Magetan, Mayor Tamsir, said on Monday, as quoted on Kompas.com. 5 F-16 fighter aircraft type F-16CD from the U.S. government arrived on Monday at Iswahyudi Air Force Base, Magetan. Southeast Asian stock markets were mixed in thin trade on Monday, March 20, with Indonesia heading for its first fall in 6 sessions while the U.S. Federal Reserve dovish stance continued to drag the dollar lower. Indonesian shares fell as much as 0.4% following last week's record-setting spree, with consumer and energy stocks leading the decline. 3 of Australia's most successful alumni from Indonesia have been recognized with prestigious award at a Welcome Home Gala event in Jakarta. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson said in a press release, which received on Monday, that Australia is immensely proud of its alumni from Indonesia, and celebrating their achievements inspires all those in Australian alumni community. The Indonesian government plans to issue US dollar sukuk as well as euro and yen denominated conventional bonds in the first half of this year, an Indonesian Finance Ministry official told reporters on Monday. Finance ministers and central bank governors of the G20 member states have agreed to implement the automatic exchange of information and address base erosion and profit shifting by September 2017, or at least by September next year. The state-owned vaccine producer Bio Farma plans to sell more affordable drugs for breast cancer patients as compared to the current drugs on the market. Senior researcher at Bio Farma Erman Tritama said on Sunday that the research and development team had been creating a biosimilar drug that would be released to the market by 2019. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Palang Pintu tradition in Betawi's traditional wedding. Stay tuned. Listener, Jakarta, as the capital city of Indonesia, has a lot of things to offer to the visitors. Various attractions such as the National Monument or Monas, the Old Town, Ancol, and various other places can be visited by both domestic and foreign tourists. In addition to the various tourist attractions in Jakarta, the city also has lots of traditions that is still often done by the Betawi people who were the original inhabitants of the city. The tradition is called Buka Pintu tradition, which means tradition to open a door, or also known as Palang Pintu tradition, which means a crossbar. The tradition is still often witnessed in the Betawi traditional wedding. Listener, Palang Pintu tradition is usually performed during the Betawi traditional wedding ceremony. It is a choreographed mock fighting between groom's entourage and bride's jagoan kampung or local champion. The fight is naturally won by groom's entourage as the village champs welcome them in entering the bride's home. Listener, Palang Pintu tradition demonstrates a combination of witty rhymes and Betawi silat movements, which becomes the origins of Betawi martial arts. This tradition plays an important role in the processions of the Betawi traditional wedding, as the tradition aims to test the seriousness of the groom to the woman he is going to marry. To pass the Palang Pintu test, the groom needs to complete two conditions, namely winning on martial arts and knowing how to read the Quran. Listener, Palang Pintu tradition is passed down from one generation to next generation amongst Betawi community. Even there is no historical record so far that describes who created this tradition and when this tradition has actually begun. The Palang Pintu tradition starts right after the groom's entourage arrives in the bride's family home. It begins with several stages, namely the salawat dustur, balas pantun or replying rhyme, backlay, and lantun sike. During the process of palang pintu tradition, the groom will be hindered by the bride's village champions, or usually named jawara kampung. The champions then put forward some requirements that essentially challenge the groom's jawara kampung to fight and recite some verses of the Quran. By doing so, the quality of the groom can be confirmed by the bride's family whether the quality of the groom meets with the requirements or not. Listener, it needs 9 people to perform the palang pintu tradition. 2 people as the bride's jawara or champions, 1 groom's jawara, 1 rhythmist from both bride's and groom's family, 3 salawat dustur readers, and 1 sike reader. The name palang pintu is derived from the community of Betawi Tengah or the Central Betawi, but the Betawi people live in the border area, or usually known as Betawi Orang, name this tradition as Rebut Dandang or Tepuk Dandang tradition. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces you some Indonesian vocabularies and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is tawar-menawar, or in English, bargaining. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice slowly, and you can follow after me. Tawar menawar. Tawar menawar in English, to bargain. Mau. Mau in English, to want. Tanya. Tanya in English, to ask. Baju. Baju in English, clothes. Warna merah. Warna merah in English, red. Berapa harganya? Berapa harganya in English, how much is it? 250.000 rupiah. 250.000 rupiah in English, 250,000 rupiah. Mahal. Mahal in English, be expensive. 150.000 rupiah. 150.000 rupiah in English, 150,000 rupiah. 200.000 rupiah. 200.000 rupiah in English, 200,000 rupiah. 175.000 rupiah. 175.000 rupiah in English, 175,000 rupiah. Uang. Uang in English, money. Next is a conversation on tawar-menawar or in English bargaining. As usual, I'll say every sentence twice slowly and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Annie and trader at the market. Annie: Maaf, saya mau tanya. Maaf, saya mau tanya. In English: Excuse me, may I ask you? Baju warna merah itu berapa harganya? Baju warna merah itu berapa harganya? In English: How much is the red shirt? Trader: Harga baju ini Rp250.000. Harga baju ini Rp250.000. In English: The shirt is Rp250.000. Ani: Mahal sekali. Mahal sekali. In English: It is too expensive. Trader: Kalau begitu berapa? Kalau begitu berapa? In English: You may bargain it. Ani: Bagaimana kalau Rp150.000? Bagaimana kalau Rp150.000? In English: Can I take it to Rp150.000? Trader: Tidak. Untuk Anda, saya berikan Rp200.000. Tidak. Untuk Anda, saya berikan Rp200.000. In English: No, you can't. I give you Rp200.000. Ani: Bagaimana kalau Rp175.000? Bagaimana kalau Rp175.000? In English: How about Rp175.000? Kalau tidak bisa, ya sudah. Kalau tidak bisa, ya sudah. In English: I'll take it with the price. Trader: Baiklah, ini bajunya. Baiklah, ini bajunya. In English: All right, take the shirt. Ani: Ini uangnya. Ini uangnya. In English: Here is the money. Trader: Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English: Thank you. Datang lagi berbelanja. Datang lagi berbelanja. In English: Please come again for shopping. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. See you tomorrow with another topic. Sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present Kroncong Song, sung by an Indonesian female singers, Gina Sadeli and Ipuk. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Setangkai Bunga Mawar by Gina Sadeli. Happy listening. The song Setangkai Bunga Mawar is a native Kroncong song. As Kroncong music in general, this song has soft rhythm. The song lyrics tells us about a flower as a sign of love of a couple lover. The journey of love is not always run smoothly. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Melati Pesanku by Ipuk. Happy listening.
Mengiring pahlawanku.
The song Melati Pesanku is a slow beat song and has nuances of nationalism, telling about a woman who took off her lover to fulfill his devotion to the state and the nation. Melati or jasmine, the white flower, is a symbol of purity and sincerity. Greater love for the country led her to allow her beloved man going to the battlefronts. This song is an original kroncong, which was composed in the era of the Indonesian struggle. Listening to the song seems to evoke a sense of our devotion to the country. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Merah Delima and Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam by Gina Sadeli. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Suatu hari tanpa sengaja kita bertemu. Aku yang pernah terluka kembali mengenal cinta. Hati ini kembali temukan senyum yang hilang. Semua itu karena dia. Tuhan, ku cinta dia, ku sayang dia, rindu dia, inginkan dia. Utuhkanlah rasa cinta di hatiku, hanya padanya, untuk dia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program.
or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.